Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm a Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts Sunday morning, 9 to 10 WVT.
What's up, Patrick?
How are you?
I'm good.
Trent.
Yes, sir. I like chilling the air.
I do, too. It's one of those days. I think it's kind of like the temperature in the air where you go by like any middle school or any elementary school and you look on the parking lot and there's like 26 jackets that's gotten left behind from the day before.
Really? Yeah, that's what you've been doing? You've been ganking these kids' jackets?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for, you know, it's chilly in the morning, but it's hot in the afternoons, what I'm trying to say. So these kids be shedding their jackets.
So speaking of jackets, in our guest bedroom, we have Nila. She's the Japanese, German exchange student. She's on by her second of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We went to Topsail Beach to look for shark's teeth. I hadn't counted them yet, but Reagan said they were all small. I think we found about 1,000.
No megalodon.
But anyway, before she moved into the guest bedroom, Reagan takes all my stuff that was in the guest closet and puts it back in my closet. And I'm like, what's all this crap?
So you keep all your stuff?
And for 3 years, yeah. I haven't worn any of this stuff. I'm like, well, I just put it in the car and take it to Goodwill. I mean, if I hadn't worn it in 3 years, I don't think I need that tuxedo. It's kind of dusty. Got ring around the collar.
When's the last time you wore a tuxedo? I'm trying to think when I did. It's been a minute. It's been a hot minute.
I bought that tuxedo, I think, for Make-A-Wish when I first joined the board and first black tie event.
Understood.
So that would have been 2011, I think.
All right.
And I rocked it a couple times. I don't think I'm really too much into wearing tuxedos anymore.
You don't see people wearing tuxedos nearly as much. I feel like it's sort of, I mean, are there still big tuxedo formals that we just, like us rednecks, don't get invited to?
I mean, I'm not wearing a tuxedo.
Are you a vest guy or are you a cummerbund? Well, I mean, what'd you have?
Vest.
To, me too.
Don't let the crumbs fall in the cummerbund.
You can't have the crumbs in the cummerbund. Yeah. I agree.
And I might have had a bow tie. I think Dave McGuire.
Yeah, I had a bow tie.
He's a bow tie guy, right? Obviously. He think he gave me, when he got married, I was in his wedding, he gave me a North Carolina Tar Heel bow tie. So I always was jazzed up with that.
I want you to elaborate a little bit. Why would he obviously be a bow tie guy?
Have you met him? I mean, a little stiff. I think stiff guys wear bow ties. So try not to offend anybody.
Well, I mean, I'm going to step in here, and I don't know him that well. But I got that.
You got.
Like, he can pull it off.
I mean, I think everybody listening gets it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. You work with him. You should know this.
If you don't believe me, go on the Andrew Reby website and look at David McGuire and him with the bow tie.
I can feel his face turning red.
I'm going to give him back that North Carolina Tar Heel bow tie. Goodness gracious. I can't stand that thing.
What?
And then people give me cufflinks. What's the got cufflinks for?
Oh, my gosh.
Goodness gracious.
I agree. That just seems like a safety hazard.
Me and Reagan were talking about when I first got into business in early – I mean, I graduated college in 2000. I'd go to South Park and go to Dillard's or Belk and buy Daniel Cremonot slicker pants. I mean, I was rocking them. I'm like, remember when I used to buy them slicker pants and slicker shirts?
I had a Daniel Cremonot hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool. Had a big C on it.
Yeah, Daniel Cremonot was cool.
All right.
When you want to be a slicker.
A city slicker.
Yeah. I don't really wear pants like that anymore.
No.
I don't know. They're nice. I still got them. I need to take them to Goodwill.
Were they in the closet?
Yeah. They were upstairs.
They were in the closet.
They just got bombarded in my closet.
I hear you.
I got about another section in my closet that I haven't touched in a long time. I don't really wear too many button-downs anymore.
I hear you.
I'm more of a hoodie and sweatshirt guy these days.
I got you. Well, you got your.
Our guest, Jim Birch, looks good in his button down. He looks like he could pull it off. I don't know, but he looks like he's got some good things going on. You know, they always say if you want to find directions, ask the one-legged guy. He knows where the most efficient route is.
Where did that come from?
It just came out of my head.
Is it because Jim's the COO of OMB? Maybe he's looking for some efficiencies? I mean, that's what he's diving into?
Yeah. I'm going to give you some less. You can't get that mic. Don't be grabbing that mic. You got to wait your turn, sir. Goodness gracious. Yeah, McGuire's an efficient. You wear bow tie, Jim? Y'all play pickleball. I think you talked about a little on the radio.
We did. And we actually...
I asked him when I saw him. Yeah. He's a nice, strapping young lad. I'm like, how did Patrick beat you in pickleball? He about threw up in it. I think he about fell out when I said that to him. He's like, I don't remember it that way.
So there's a rematch. it's 1-1, and we're beating him in the third round. Now, I know the deal. We have a rematch this week.
Patrick, you better be careful what you say. We got a rematch. Like Daddy used to always say, well, goes in circles. One day we'll all have pink tulips again.
or the Carolina blue ones.
Or the lime green ones.
Yes, that was popular back in the We're going to clear the air here. Before you go on to something else, it's 1-1. And I believe we might be up ahead on the third game.
I don't think he's agreeing. He's shaking his head.
In about a minute and a half,
he's about to come strong.
But we got a rubber match. We've got a rematch this week, actually.
A rubber match. Like the bounce back game?
I think that's where it's tied, and then you come in and you play like a third game.
How's Clemson doing? UNC is undefeated in the number 12 in the AP poll. That's a pretty good assertion there.
Yep.
And Drake May's playing some good quarterback. We got Tez Bryant back. I know this isn't a sports talk show, but when we Tar Heels, we talk about it.
Well, look, that story with Tez Bryant was awesome. They did a bunch of – there was all over the news this week. And I think it was really cool when they surprised him. He got real emotional.
Really? Good
for that young man for getting back on there. Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's been handling this about as well as you could handle it. I mean, someone basically taking your dream away from you.
It's sad.
It is sad.
You know?
Bureaucracy.
And then for them to give it back. Give it back.
Why didn't they just do this right before?
Everything's got to be hard, Patrick.
I understand.
Why are things that can be so easy – everybody feels like if it ain't hard, you don't earn it. And I don't have that problem.
I understand.
I like to earn easy stuff.
But to your point, why couldn't they let him play UNC? How come they had that big game here? Kids from Charlotte. I think that was handled very poorly.
Well, yeah. Okay.
That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Congratulations. Yeah, Clemson still stinks, by the way.
We barely beat Wake Forest.
Y'all aren't even ranked, are you?
No.
Wow.
4-2. 4-2.
Ooh, y'all lost two games?
Yeah.
Ooh,
Duke and Florida State.
Man,
yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right. We got Jim Birch, COO of
OMB.
OMB. Yeah. I was going to say that. You didn't think I was going to get it right?
I thought you were throwing it at me like you're kind of doing an arm motion there.
My good friend John Marino, they work together. I can't wait to hear about – I got a little bit about his career. Nice to meet you, Jim. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Hayes from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, man, we had some fun cutting
We did up. Have a little fun.
And if you're looking for some Cremo pants.
They'll be at Goodwill next week.
Next week.
I think
which
they're
Goodwill?
$7.
What size are they? What were you, like a 32 30, back then?
32, 32. Dang, that's what I hear you. Still am.
Good for you.
Son.
There you go.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, rubber match?
Well, I don't think we ever completed the last game.
We didn't?
And I don't think there was a clear winner either. So
I think we're starting from a tie.
No. I think we are starting from a tie. I said I thought we were winning the last game. But I could be wrong.
I like this guy's style.
I'll tell you, at one of the last points, he did do like a flying overhead smack. It was a good shot.
Yeah, that was.
You got up there.
Listen, Jim, a little coaching. If you don't keep Patrick in check, he'll roll over you.
I think this Friday we'll have an opportunity to play at least three full games.
Oh.
And then we'll know.
Okay. Can I put my money on you?
Yes.
All right, $5 on Jimmy.
Yep, okay.
My hamstring's really starting to hurt. Well, Jim, you are the COO of OMB. We've become friends just hanging out through the process and everything. Tell us, we like to talk about, you know, people, where they came from, how they got into the industry they're in, because this was not what you had set out to do, right? I mean, initially you had other plans.
Yeah, I was a home brewer for 20, 25 years
really?
Or so, but I didn't get into the beer industry until 2015 when my wife and I moved to Asheville, North Carolina.
Got it. So what's your favorite beer to homebrew?
I started homebrewing in New York City in a small 600-square-foot apartment, mostly because I wanted to brew Belgian beers a lot more cheaply than what you could get in the grocery store.
Yeah.
So I was brewing beers that were like 10, 11%. You know, basically was costing me $60 as opposed to $120 if I bought them at the grocery store.
Got it.
That was the reason.
He's a thrifty brewer.
That's it.
That's cool. Yeah, we have a guy, one of my best friends, worked with us for 20 years, went to high school together, Chris Maynard. He's a home brew enthusiast. I don't think he's a threat to y'all's business, but hopefully not.
Well, I stopped home brewing as soon as I got into the industry when I realized that, you know, over the course of 20 years, I probably made about 100 gallons of beer. And in the first 2 hours of working in the beer industry, I made four times that amount.
I understand. Hey, that's the way to do it. So are you from New York?
Right outside New York. I grew up in South Orange, New Jersey.
Okay.
So just about 20 miles west of the city.
Cool. So what'd you do at after you got out of college? Or did you go? I don't know.
Yeah, no. I went to school in the South, actually. I went to the University of Richmond.
And really?
Yep. Moved back to New York City and spent about 5 years in various corporate development roles. And then I got a job working for Moody's, which was at that time rating bonds, rating financial institutions and sovereign risk and all kinds of neat stuff. Wound up spending 10 years there, and part of my role evolved after the credit crisis. So my wife and I spent 2 years in London. And we were in London. We got to travel around all the time. And, you know, during that entire period, I was still going to breweries and bottle shops in the UK. I was helping our local brewery bottle on the weekends. And so I had that itch. But we moved back to New York in 2014 and decided about a year later, I was like, I'm going to take a risk and quit my job. And we're going to move to Asheville, and we'll see what happens. And the day that I went in to tell my boss, she was like, well, you're not going to a competitor, so we're not going to escort you out of the building, but will you stay on for another 4 months, and we can recruit your successor. And then if it doesn't work out, we'll hold your job for a year. So there was no reason not to give it a shot.
You must have done a good job, man.
I think they were short-staffed.
So you understand bonds.
I do.
I hear you. Yep. So how's the bond market these days?
I haven't been following it as closely, but it's you know, it's in a period of time right now with rates rising so quickly that I think there's, you know, it's going to be an interesting couple of years.
Yeah, trying to catch the tail, right?
Yeah.
See what's going on. Yeah. Wow. So you moved to Asheville, and you just moved to Asheville, you and your wife?
We moved to Asheville. We bought a house in the mountains. I took 3 months off. I didn't even think about work. And then
That
was July 2015. And then come September 2015, I was like, I think I need a job now. So I started going door to door. I went to Sierra Nevada, New Belgium, and then a lot of the smaller breweries, and kind of introduced myself and wound up talking with the owners of Catawba. And at that time, they had started to expand their facilities. And he said, well, we don't really need a finance guy. I need a sales guy. And I was like, I'll do it. Just give me a chance.
Wow.
And the rest is history. It turned out to be just a fantastic business, good timing, huge ambitions. And at that moment, Catawba was kind of blowing up with the beer white zombie. So
got it.
It was the right place, right time. And I enjoyed it for almost 3 years.
Wow. I didn't know that.
What do you think about that?
That's pretty impressive. So you were at Catawba for 3 years, then what?
Yeah, so then it was, I guess, late 2018. We had just purchased Palmetto. We were merging the breweries together. Operations were really interesting. We had tractor trailers on the road all night long going between the facilities. And I got a call from a headhunter who said, what do you think about moving to New Orleans and working for a brewery, but you don't need to worry about raising any money. They're pretty well funded. It'll be real interesting. It's a heritage brand. And I was like, well, I'd love to learn more. Went home, talked to my wife, and she's like, we're absolutely not moving to Louisiana. I don't know what you're talking about. So I took the interview anyways. went down to Louisiana, wound up at the Saints and Pelicans office, and long story short, Mrs. Gail Benson at that time is the owner of the Saints and Pelicans still, and she and her husband, just prior to him dying, unfortunately, they had purchased the Dixie brand. And their intention was to rebuild this state-of-the-art massive brewery in New Orleans East. They obviously had the budget for it. They had the connections. And they had this incredible ambition to do something that I think most other craft breweries would dream of. And so I came back home, wound up getting the job offer after two more flights down. My wife and I went and visited Louisiana, and she said, how can you not take this job? So that's what we did.
Wow. You are a salesman. The Catawba folks knew something when they brought you in the fold. So you spent 3 years in Louisiana, did you
yeah.
say?
Yep. Okay. We were there for 3 years. It was the first year was a sprint to build the place. It was a 100,000-square-foot yeah. brewery. The second year was January 2020. We opened up. We had 5,000 people out the door. We had Dixie fans from, 50, 60 years coming back with their memorabilia. It was truly incredible.
Yeah, it's so cool.
We had Saints team members coming over, and then COVID shut us down 5 weeks later.
Dang.
And just like, a lot of small businesses, we continued to produce beer. We were able to do that, but the retail side of the business and the museum and everything else that we had planned, that didn't work out, but we were able to sell beer to go. And then closer to June of that year, another 6 months later, still not too far into the business, we decided that the Dixie name, unfortunately, wasn't something that she was going to be able to hold on to with her other ownership interests. And so made an announcement to retire the Dixie name, and that kicked off another one-year sprint to create a new brand. And to also change the business from sort of a craft brew manufacturing our own brands to a contract brewer making other people's brands.
So. Right. Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
One of which was Troy Aikman, which was really neat. So I got to meet, Master P and Troy Aikman and all these celebrities at that time that were thinking about introducing
getting
a beer. Troy
beer.
Aikman, he did, and since has become incredibly successful.
Really?
So it's kind of cool to see it from startup all the way through to today.
Troy Aikman seems like a likable guy.
He is.
Yeah, that's neat. How about Master P?
Master P is an interesting guy, too, but extremely friendly. Yeah, not many craft breweries have four Rolls Royce SUVs pull into their parking lot with bodyguards get out.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a big deal.
This is cool. Hey, I went through my Master P time in high school.
Oh, so did I.
I like Master P. And
make him say,
Yeah, make you say, Check it out if you hadn't heard Master P in a while. He's a very successful music mogul.
We had one of my buddies had a Master P doll, and you would squeeze it, and it would go,
Wow.
Na 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 na.
Na 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 na. Man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, this is fun. Will you stick around? I want to hear some more stories. Goodness gracious. We got Jim Birch when we return. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back, At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. If you've missed the last couple segments, go back. You can find us anywhere podcasts are fine, or you can check us out on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. I missed all that stuff on the last segment. I'm going to get in trouble. Trent, this is not good.
Goodness,
but is good.
You're not rolling over me, Patrick.
What is good is we've got a wonderful guest here, Jim Birch from OMB. And if
tell
you
can, some cool stories.
Check it out. I'm glad you're hearing this for the first time on the show. It is kind of cool. We talk about the opportunity to get to really know people here when we're recording the show. But, it's just a remarkable story. Jim's talking about his time in New Orleans, talking about Master P, four Rolls Royce, Troy Aikman, all this stuff. Really cool
now
stuff.
Now TJ's Googling Master P songs over here. So I don't think he can lead a segment with the Master P song. There's some copyright infringement or something. I don't know how all that works. But
we could sing it.
We could make you say,
Na-na-na-na. You got to get the na-na-na in there.
And you said his son is going to play basketball for Houston.
Yep. That's
College of Houston.
I've been following him on Instagram. And it looks like he just signed recently.
That is cool.
Yeah. And you are a Richmond Spider. Am
yes.
I right about that?
Yep.
You always do pretty good in the NCAA.
Yeah, once every 8 years.
Yeah.
You had a little more schooling than that, though, right? I mean, I think you got an MBA as well.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I wound up getting my MBA while I was working for Moody's, actually. They sponsored me. So on Fridays and Saturdays for 2 years, that was my whole life.
Got it.
Great way to do it without leaving your job.
Jim's a pretty smart cookie if you haven't figured it out.
I'm following along.
And he's a pretty decent shotgun shot, too.
Apparently he's a really good pickleball player.
I am scared to death to play him on Friday night.
Oh, you're a good shotgun? You pretty good at the clays? The five stand?
23 out of 50. Is that good?
No. From what I understand, that isn't that good.
We'll give a shout out though. Scott Dunstan, who's been on this radio show, is like lights out. Don't bet him.
We have a clay shoot tomorrow for Make-A-Wish.
That's right.
Shoemaker Loop. My buddy Steve Meckler's putting it on, And Mac Wingett's going to join us.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be good.
And I think he's like a perfect shot.
Yeah. I could just tell, by the way, he's going to be pretty darn good. Yeah, we might as well just – maybe like you and I can play him, like us two versus him.
I hope it's like golf where they count the best score, the two best scores, and yeah, we're team. Just there
best
to
shot,
hang out.
Yeah.
You know? Just going to – I'll be like 50%.
Let's dive back into it, Jim. You were talking about your days in New Orleans, how you guys opened the giant facility with Dixie, 100,000 square foot, had to shut down 5 weeks after COVID, mm-hmm. or COVID started 5 weeks after opening. And you were talking about having to do a mad dash to rebrand.
Yep.
Or to create a new brand. So maybe we could start there. I know you're going to get to your OMB days now.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, June or July of 2020, we decided that we have to get rid of this name, but we also have to replace it. So what we did was we reached out to the public and we said, you know, what would be the best way for us to still represent 113-year history just using a different name? So we got 5,000 name submissions. You know, we polled employees. We talked to the whole organization. We talked to city leaders and you name it. And a couple names came up pretty frequently. And then just like in every other business, every name is taken from a copyright trademark perspective. So we're running trademarks on nearly every single name. We finally got to a name called Faubourg, which practically no one pronounces correctly the first time. But if you're in New Orleans, Faubourg Marigny, Faubourg Treme, that is French for neighborhood. And we thought, what a great name, because really this is the neighborhood beer of New Orleans. We started clearing trademarks on that name. And, of course, there was one name that came up, and it was a restaurant in Montclair, New Jersey, of all places I actually knew of. And we talked to them, and he was friends with Emeril Lagasse, who knew folks in the Saints organization. So it all kind of worked out.
Wow.
And we were able to actually get the name.
That's awesome. So how is it going down there?
It's going well. I left about a year and a half ago. So we introduced the Faubourg name in February of 2021. And throughout that year, we did really well, actually, especially in the Louisiana area, going across the Gulf Coast into Florida. And then it was probably about 2 years ago, almost to the day now, where we were just coming out of another hurricane that shut us down for a week and a half. And my wife and I were thinking about getting a little bit closer to family. And the opportunity for OMB came up. John Marino, who's the owner, had created a new position, and he had started a search and was looking everywhere. So that was the conversation that began then.
That's awesome. Man, so you've lived in New York, London, New Orleans is how you say it, Asheville, Charlotte. Richmond. What's your favorite place to live?
My favorite place to live is probably London, only because it's so easy to travel anywhere from there.
Okay.
Second favorite is Charlotte for the same reasons. It's also great weather, and you know we love being halfway between the mountains and the beach.
Yep.
And it seems like North Carolina has just got a little bit of everything.
Yeah. No, it's a great place. I'm a big fan. That's cool. So how was Asheville?
Asheville was great. Moving from Jersey City to Asheville was the cultural shock that both my wife and I weren't totally ready for. We moved into this brand new development, actually, and we were probably the third or fourth house that was built there. So we got to meet each of the new neighbors that moved in over the course of the first year. And, you know, I was commuting back and forth to Morganton. My wife was kind of getting into the beer industry at that time. She's a writer, travel writer. And so she had that opportunity to think about her next book, her next guide, and she was also working for a brewery. So we were all in on breweries, and it was just a fantastic time.
Man, I got it. So what's going on? We're fortunate enough to be working together on the new Old Mecklenburg Brewing location in Ballantyne Bowl.
Yep. Sure.
So give us a rundown on what all's going on.
Yeah, so John Marino, the owner, his vision for OMB for over a decade now has always been that our core location in the Loso neighborhood is fantastic. But at the same time, Charlotte is growing so quickly, it's making it difficult for everyone to come to that one location.
Yep.
So we want to bring the OMB experience, the beer garden especially, into the neighborhoods. And John has been looking at property for years and years and years. And the Ballantyne opportunity came up with Northwood about 2 or 3 years ago. So we jumped on that. And Ballantyne will be the first, or probably the second location that we're going to open. All of our production will still come from the main Yancey location. And then after Ballantyne, we intend to open in Mount Holly and then in Cornelius. And so we get a lot of questions all the time from folks that are like, when's Mount Holly opening? When's Cornelius opening? And we're going to do it at a pace that makes sense for the business so that we get each place right. And we have the employees experience that sort of the energy that comes from the beer garden, and then, you know, we'll open as we go.
Dang. I have a couple Copper and a couple of Captain Jack in my refrigerator now.
Excellent.
Great beer. I'm a big fan and dear friends with John. He's a pretty particular fella.
He likes his beer.
You know?
And he's got he likes high-quality beer, I'll say that.
Well, it's the oldest craft brewery in Charlotte.
Correct.
Because they bought the equipment originally from South End Brewing.
Yep.
It's where Sugar Creek is now. That's where he opened up.
Right.
Which I think is really cool. And last year, I have a bonfire 1st of January every year, and on Saturday, we do oysters after the bonfire, and he brought over some IPA, right?
Yep.
You guys have an IPA now.
We started making an IPA called Unforeseen, and we released it at the Christmas market last year.
Yep.
So we're going on 1 year with an IPA.
How's it going?
Great. You know, we're making it according to the German tradition of Reinheitsgebot, so it's four ingredients still. We're not violating any of what makes the OMB beer unique. And we're satiating that part of the demand where, you know, half the population that really drinks craft beer now likes IPAs to a certain extent or another.
So explain this. The German tradition of four ingredients?
Yep.
I didn't know this.
It's called Reinheitsgebot. It's probably the oldest food safety purity law in the world. It's from 1516. And it says you can only put four ingredients in a beer: water, malt, hops, and yeast, and that's it. And that's what we do.
Wow. Man, does everybody do that?
No.
I put that on a tee.
Yeah, that was
you.
A wiffle ball.
It was a pickleball.
Yeah, that was definitely not even a knuckler. It was just a little lob. I was throwing it to my son. Well, man, this is so fun. I learned so much today. So something, I'm going to put you on the spot. You seem like you'd be good at this question. What is one principle in life that you live by, you carry yourself? Seems like you and your wife have done a lot of journeys together and have it going on. So what's one principle you live by?
Oh, that's a hard question. I would say, you know, just keep things simple. You know, some people tend to overcomplicate a lot of stuff, and I think that, you know, if you keep things simple and have a good perspective, you know, you're kind of open to new challenges and just makes things easier.
Amen. We were talking about that earlier. I agree with you. I tell some people keep it simple, stupid, and I got yelled at the other day because I called this guy stupid. I'm like, man, lighten up. That's my point.
It's a compliment.
Yeah. If you can't get with me, then you obviously don't get it. Well, Jim, how can people look up Old Mecklenburg?
Best way to find us, 4150 Yancey and Loso, or on the web at ombbeer.com.
ombbeer.com, great. Get you Copper, get you Captain Jack. Thank you for being here, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the opportunity to work together, buddy.
Same here.
You're listening to At Home with Roby. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed last segment,
we are your hosts.
We are your hosts.
If you missed last segment, look it up.
Instagram, LinkedIn.
All things media.
Or you can just search us. I think we're on Spotify and all the places podcasts live. But
you Google At Home with Roby,
I think it'll come at Home with Roby.
I want to know who y'all think has better hair.
Jim Burge. Who has better hair, you or me? Our pictures are a little old.
Rowan told me the other day that she showed a picture when we ran the South End 5K,
yep.
And she said, I showed the picture, and my friend was like, God, your dad has a big forehead. Like, kids are so mean.
You got to self-proclaim big forehead.
But I did win out of our group.
I know.
I think I gave you a buffer a couple minutes and still did my job.
I'm on the ground, you're just stomping
and
away.
David
huh?
wouldn't do it, and McGuire wouldn't, the bow tie man wouldn't do it, and he would have won.
He did well. He was moving.
I was impressed.
Do you know who else did that race? Was that guy over there? Jim Burch was in that
did
race.
Did you run in that race?
We missed him.
Really?
Yeah. South End Shuffle.
I forget my time, though.
Hey, that's the rubber match. We're 1-1. That's what I was talking. Okay, all right. I got a little bit confused on our
man.
sports.
Doesn't he have a nice voice?
Yeah.
You say New Orleans pretty well, and your voice is real deep. It isn't all scratchy like mine.
No, he's a good dude. He and I have become friends, like I said, and I always glean a lot off of him and his wisdom that he has in businesses.
Well, Patrick, the 15th annual Pitching for Wishes to support Make-A-Wish Foundation is
November 4th.
Is November the 4th, Saturday, November the 4th. And everybody knows, if you listen to the show leading up to 10 shows before the tournament, we tell a wish story.
That is correct.
And we thank our big sponsors.
We do. We're going to tell the wish story first, and this is Arlie, and then we'll come back and we'll hit the sponsors.
Let's go,
on
Pat.
The way out. All right. Pat, thank you. Meet Arlie, a one-of-a-kind five-year-old. You're still laughing at that. All right, that's funny. Okay, meet Arlie, a one-of-a-kind five-year-old girl with a love for animals. She even has a few baby goats. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Arlie is currently battling a brain tumor and undergoes weekly treatment. When asked about her wish, Arlie knew exactly what she wanted, to go dog sledding in Alaska. Wow, man, that's a really unique wish. Arlie was over the moon to finally embark on her Alaskan adventure. She got to witness the stunning northern lights, go on an exhilarating dog sled ride, take a ride on a snowmobile, and even got to see an igloo up close. It was a dream come true for Arlie, who loved every moment of her adventure. Arlie's wish experience provided her with a much-needed break from the routine of medical treatments. She and her family made unforgettable memories that will last a lifetime. And for Arlie, this adventure was a reminder that she is a brave and adventurous girl with a world of opportunities ahead of her.
Wow. Man, what an experience.
Is from Mooresville. There's her picture. I know that wow. You can't see this over the radio, but we put these stuff up.
How
on
cool
our
is
pages.
That?
Yeah,
man,
unbelievable. That's what a cool wish.
I mean, that is a cool wish.
That's
make a wish. You get, you know, the children with life threatening illnesses can be. They get to meet. They get to do.
That's right.
Experiences. And it's great for the whole family.
Well,
you know, it's uplifting.
You're right. We can't do this without our co-host Harris Teeter, Platinum Sponsors at Home Tech Solutions, which we had Mike Fitton on recently on the show, if you missed that
last week, I think.
Mesa Quality, United Healthcare, radio partner, of course, WBT. And so, yeah, man, November 4th, you know the deal, Trent, face painting, mascots, good family day.
Please come out there. Freedom Park down at the bottom where the Little League baseball fields, soccer fields are. We take over three baseball Little League fields. And one of them's dedicated to kids' area, so it has bouncy houses, face painting, mascots.
Yeah, we got three mascots, Sir Purr, Chubby Checker, and Champ the Cheetah.
Champ the Cheetah?
Yeah.
Man, really? I don't even know Champ the Cheetah.
I can't wait to meet him or
meet
her.
Champ the Cheetah must be for rugby or something.
Lacrosse or something.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I'm going to figure it out while we're there. Champ, are going to spend some time together.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of goes with me. Champ, Trent. I mean, kind of the same thing, right? I don't know.
Oh,
man,
that's funny.
I tell you, man, we went to Top Sail last week. We took Neela, so she got to go to the mountains and camp, and now she went to Top Sail, a little different deal. She said she liked the beach better. We had bathrooms and stuff.
We
stayed in a pretty nice house.
Thank
you, Rich Ballot, for every year allowing us to go down there.
Yeah, that is nice.
And I get to go walk and look for shark teeth and think about life and meditate. And Reagan lets me go get some Trent time. And the kids put up with me. And this weekend, for her last weekend, we're going to stay on the river at home.
There you go.
So she's going to get to know what Bright Road's really about this weekend. So we might have our first bonfire the weekend.
How's that catfish
of the
bite?
Season, excuse me.
How's that catfish bite down there? Are you going to get wet a line?
I told T and Larry to come over Saturday morning. I think we're going to go fishing.
There you go.
I like the smell of dead catfish. It smells good, especially when it's permeated for a couple of days in the old Catawba. I mean, really. I said this last week. We were in the mountains, and Knott said, the river. He's three, Jim. And I said, would you like this river? He said, is this river going to be muddy like our river? I said, nah, they don't make them like our river. Oh, Lordy. You know why our river, you know why the Catawba River is muddy?
Please enlighten me.
Because of Dutchman's Creek.
Yeah.
Pours, you know, when it rains, it pours into the river. If it doesn't rain for a couple of days, it clears up.
Yeah.
But right there, I mean, that's where the old Mecklenburg Brewery is going to be one day. I mean, awesome piece of property.
Yeah.
Great. Right on the other side of Mount Holly. It's about a 10-minute boat ride for us.
There you go.
So, yeah. Well, TJ, it's so nice to see you. Jim, so nice to have you in the studio and learn about your life. Thank you. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening to At Home with Roby.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.